Welcome to Childcare Conversations with Kate and Carrie.
All right, so we've talked about expanding. If you've missed that episode, make sure you go look it up. But now we're going to talk about the different types of business models, because most of us who've listened, Carrie, are familiar with like a registered or licensed home, and they're familiar with like a building. What are some other ways people could get their child care business started?
Well, so, you know, buy a business. That's what we talked about in the other episode. But if that's not the thing, or if you're listening to this because you're a director and you want to open your own child care business because you have ideas different from your employers, we've got a few different options. Some of those are licensed and regulated, and one of them isn't. So let's start with the one that isn't. And so those are, and that they can be in other states, but in Texas, they can't be. So in Texas, you cannot be licensed as what are called like a forest kindergarten or a tinker school, a childcare program that is outside 90% of the time. Because in Texas, our childcare licenses are tied to the number of bathrooms we have and the amount of indoor space we have. It's also outdoor space, but if you do not rent a building with multiple bathrooms that has plenty of indoor space, you can't be licensed. So those programs that are based in a neighborhood park and they use the neighborhood park's bathrooms, you can't be licensed in Texas.
Yeah,
and I think programs, that's a great way to start a program. Because
there's actually curriculum for them. There's training. Depending on what approach you take, you can actually, you know, there are umbrellas, and this is more than just nature and play. So just something to keep in mind.
What are one or two of the companies or organizations that you can do one of those nature-based preschools?
So Tinker Garden is one of the largest ones that has the biggest capacity behind it. It's now owned and operated on the back end by Highlights for Children. So the magazine that every dentist and doctor's office has, pediatric, so that is the company that now owns Tinker Garden, but Tinker Garden's been around for a long time. They have curriculum, they have coach training, which is what they call their instructors and their leaders. And then under Forest School and even Children in Nature, there are kits. So they don't really call them curriculum and they don't really call them franchises, but they're kits that come with training. To facilitate those kind of environments as well. You also see those for school age programs and summer camps. So again, if you are listening to this in the spring, when we recorded it, even late spring, one of the things to think about as far as a place to start is a place to start that is just that. It is a summer program for out of school time, school age children. So,
yep. So that's one of the ways you can start, right? So it's basically a business in a box. and you don't have the upfront costs of renting a building, buying a building, etc. You don't have the support of childcare licensing. You're not going to be able to do CCS or childcare block grant funding to subsidize care for families. So you've got some downsides to it, but you've definitely got some upsides to it. There will be parents who won't feel comfortable with going to a program that's not licensed, but there will be plenty who are very comfortable doing that. I think the next one that when we were chatting, we sort of outlined is partnering with a faith-based entity, a church or a synagogue or a mosque or temple, whatever term, a faith-based building.
and there's two ways to do this, right? Like, right. So there's one where you go in running your privately run program and they are literally just your landlord. And it doesn't, it may or may not be your faith. You, it doesn't have to be. Nothing says it has to be. It doesn't even have to be a faith-based theme. Like, that doesn't have to be the curriculum model or the educational philosophy. And so those are some, you know, that's a pretty decent way. A lot of those organizations use their building 2, maybe 3 days a week, and probably not the classrooms during that time period.
Right. And then the other one is partnering with a faith-based organization to set up something that is basically a ministry for that faith-based organization. And then in that case, there may or may not be a religious component to the curriculum. There are as many programs that don't have a faith-based element, in my experience, that they just want to provide this service to their community. Because they know that childcare is needed in their community. And so, in that situation, you might not be putting up any of the cash, but you also probably don't own the business. You're coming in as the new director and you're getting to build a program without having any of the downsides of ownership. And so, if you just want to start a program and do something awesome, and you don't have the finances to own it yourself, this is a great way to be able to do that. Some of our dearest director friends did that. And that worked out really well for a few years. And then they had a change in the leadership in the faith-based organization, and their childcare center went away.
Yeah,
But
my kids have been part of both versions. A program that rented space from the church, which was interesting because basically they set up every Monday at 6 a.m. They'd come in and put up their portable walls and they would make their classrooms. And then every Friday at 5, there was tear down. And so 2 of my kids were part of a program that way. One of my kids was actually a part of a partnership with a school, with an elementary school and a faith-based program that basically operated the childcare collaboration, as far as part of a special ed preschool, public-private nonprofit partnership. But I think I get all the parts.
try to say that 3 times quickly.
I
Okay.
had to think it through. I'm like, I have to get all the pieces in there.
So
So.
that's another way to do that. So we've talked 3 different ways to start a childcare business. And the fourth one that we talked about is partnering with a dance studio or a gymnastic studio or a martial arts studio, because they use that space for a very limited amount of time. Usually the martial arts and gymnastics and all of that, it is from like 3:15 until 8 p.m. So they're using it for 5 hours of the day, which leaves 19 hours of the day that it's not being used. So they can rent it to you, and all you're doing is helping them cover the light bill and things like that, because their business is already paying the rent, the mortgage, et cetera, but they're looking for ways to diversify their income stream. And so if you ran a Mother's Day Out program in a gymnastics studio, then that's perfect, because Mother's Day Out programs usually end at 2 or 3 o'clock. And so you're out of there before those after school kids come in to do their gymnastics, martial arts, dance, insert after school activity that has its own physical space here.
Okay, so just as a clarifying, in case people aren't 100% sure, Carrie, what defines a Mother's Day out? Because, you know, I had kids that wanted one of those too.
Well, so it's not a legal term. So it means whatever you want it to mean. Mother's Day Out programs are typically part day programs that mirror the school day, except they don't start usually quite as early in the morning. So it maybe runs from 9 till 2, or 9 to 3, or 8 to 1 of those times. 8 or 9 in the morning until 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Because it's so short, they may not have nap time. You have to check your licensing regulations.
Yeah, so there used to be a time where, so depending on your state, there used to be a time where some states those didn't have to be regulated the same way, because they were usually less than 4 hours a day. But those have started to grow and expand, and you used to choose whether you went Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or you went Tuesday and Thursday. Some
And
of those programs now give people the option to go all five.
that's still, I mean, pretty common is that you have people who are Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Thursday, and both groups get to choose Fridays if they want, and as long as there's Friday spots available.
Oh, that's another
So,
one.
what?
So another collaboration can be with something like a museum or a nature center, and it can also be either part day or full day or just one day. So one of my kids went to a nature center
How
day.
many kids did you have, lady?
You know, I had four. That's just, I had three that went to a real variety of programs. Really, it was the middle two. It was really number three. Number three got them all. But yeah, they went to the nature center's Friday class because it went Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday, or any combination. And so they got to go on just Friday.
Yeah. So if there is a building in your area that has child furniture, there is a possibility that you can lease that space for part of the day and operate your program. Because we have another friend who she had her business that you would put in the childcare field, and hers was doing music and movement with children. And so she rented all kinds of spaces to do her movement and music classes with kids all over the metro. And she just rented the spaces for 2 hours at a time. And so she would be this place 2 hours in the morning and this place 2 hours in the afternoon on Tuesday and different places on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And it was a great way for her to start her business. She ended up going a different direction. But it's a way to try out, do you want to be your own boss?
Those are all some great scenarios. So we've talked about partnering with other organizations, privately owned nonprofits, big businesses and small businesses. Go ahead, Carrie.
I had another thought, which is you could partner with a local private school to do their after-school care.
Or preschool care if they
Yep.
don't already have an some version of younger than five. So it could be all the way, it could just be pre-K, or it could be all the way to infant. And that could again serve teachers and or
The
the
clients of the
community.
school.
Yeah, the community. So see, we got all kinds of great ideas. So the other thing to do is to also look at
Uh-oh, she had a brain fart.
well, we talked about elementary schools. So we talked about the private, but also again that the public school component as a place to start a school age program. Again, also depending on your district, it might be a great place to have conversations with them about an infant toddler program at a local elementary school, especially if you have a school district that is trying to minimize their elementary schools because they don't think that the community has a need. And so if you see that not only is there a community need for that elementary school, but maybe what they're looking at is they have an extra room or two that isn't completely full of kiddos, is perhaps putting your school or classrooms in those locations as well. So,
So now I'm thinking of another person we should ask to be a guest on our show.
and I think most people have heard, but maybe have never done it themselves, is start a collaboration with businesses of some sort. So, instinctively, what immediately comes to mind are people who've started childcare centers with school districts to run the infant toddler programs for the teachers. We know that we hear that people do this with major employers or even small employers. So the one building,
Hospitals.
Yeah, one building that Carrie and I were talking about specifically had been for a publishing printing company. And when it was started, they had a lot of staff who had infants and toddlers. And so they needed the small business private childcare center license. I don't know. It had a specific license at the time. And but now we know of programs that are growing bigger and bigger and bigger in certain areas by collaborating with major employers and kind of going, hey, we have a service we can provide for you, basically, if you give us the space, right? So,
And there's somebody doing that with Elon Musk for the Tesla factory in the Bastrop area. So there's gonna apparently be a Montessori program that is partnering with Tesla, and there's some foreign language. I don't remember all the details. I just kind of went, I'll believe it when I see it.
well, but
but
that's a great example of a partnership. So there is an a large preschool program in that school district that's a partnership between the school district and the Children's Science Museum, that is specifically pre-K next to one of the high schools because they had the land. So.
Yep. So I think we've given you one or two ideas that if you want to start a early childhood or out of school time program, we've given you different ways to do it. Some of these are licensed, some of them aren't. But if you want to do this, you can do it. Kate and I love mentoring and coaching people in these situations. It is probably my favorite type of coaching client is people who want to start a program. You don't have to hire a coach, but I will tell you, having done it, it is so much easier if you do it with a coach and somebody who can look outside of your brain, because all you know is what's in your brain. So the coach's job is to look outside and go, here are some other opportunities, here are some other threats. Didn't plan on this being at all a pitch, but absolutely get yourself a coach if you're going to start a center.
Or even if you're thinking about it, sometimes it's worth having that coach for a little while. We had a client just a couple of weeks ago who was so excited to work with us because what they thought they wanted to do, they were very clear on until we actually had conversations and they realized, like, partnering with your faith-based institution means that you don't own it and you don't have control over it. It just means you're an employee. And that wasn't really what they were looking for. And they realized that they wanted the ability to really have impact on the community itself. So we talked about other ways to structure that. So the last thing I want you to think about as we kind of close out is, in addition to knowing whether or not you want to be self-employed or you're making yourself a job, some of those bits and pieces is to really understand kind of the cycles. And we've talked about it a lot on a variety of episodes, but if you are going to start a program, back it out from, like, for example, if you want a fall program and you want people to start in August, that means that you have to be marketing in June, May, June, and July, which means you have to have a location by May, June, or July. And depending on what has to happen to make that space usable and to be licensed and have the capacity kind of affects all those start dates. So, if you are listening to this podcast right now and you're thinking, I absolutely want to do this, I'm not being unreasonable when I tell you, think about a January start date if you don't already have a firm concept and maybe a few location possibilities already on your short list. But you absolutely today could start a program January 1.
Absolutely. So, trying to give you a little bit of a runway here and help you set things up for success so that you're not under the gun and get yourself in trouble because you don't have enough money in the bank to bankroll you for 6 months. Okay. So, I hope this was helpful to you. Please share it with other people in your community who you think would be excellent people to go into owning and running their own childcare center or program. And of course, as always, please comment and share the show.
Thank you for listening to Childcare Conversations with Kate and Carrie. Want to learn more? Check out our website at texasdirector.org. And if you've learned anything today, leave us a comment below and share the show.